And I would ask that you take your Bibles and open them to 1 Timothy. And we are going to continue on our series, Church Leadership Blueprint. And as you're doing that, I just want to mention that in your mailbox, there has been a letter slipped into your mailbox from Jeremiah Shrigley. So don't forget after the service to pick up the letter. He updates us as to what is happening in his life. Jeremiah and Rylan are both in Australia. They attended Cape and Ray. Cape and Ray is done, and they're going to extend their time a little bit in Australia. I don't blame them. If I was there, I would do the same thing. So make sure you pick up the letter there from Jeremiah. And so now you are in 1 Timothy, and we're going to continue our series in Church Leadership Blueprint. Augustine was a church leader around 400 AD. He was passionate about the biblical role of leading the church. He was passionate about church leaders. He was passionate about elders, leaders within the church. And he spoke often about it. And he spoke about the importance of the spiritual leader in the church. In fact, he said the following. He said, in reference to leaders, disturbers are to be rebuked. The low-spirited are to be encouraged. The infirm to be supported. Objectors confuted. The treacherous guarded against. The unskilled taught. The lazy aroused. The contentious restrained. The haughty repressed. Lit against, pacified, the poor relieved, the oppressed liberated, the good approved, the evil born with, and all are to be loved. The duties or the mandate of church leaders. And so we're going to be looking at this area of church leadership. And Paul wrote this letter, 1 Timothy, to a pastor by the name of Timothy, in reference to leading the church and how that should be done. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 are the key verses to this letter. And it says, although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. That's the church. We are God's household. We are the church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. So this letter was written specifically for that reason, so that the church leadership, so we would understand church leadership. So this morning, we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 17 to 21, and they deal with the topic or the theme of elders. So 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verses 17 to 21. Again, looking in your Bibles. I've got it up behind me, though, too, on the PowerPoint. But I encourage you to pull out your Bibles, electronic, whatever you need. Look for sanctuary if it's electronic. Look for sanctuary. The password is serving Christ. All one word, lowercase letters, serving Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 to 21. It says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. We continue in verse 19, and it says, do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone, so that the others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. It was 2 weeks ago I introduced the topic of elders, and we looked at 1 Timothy chapter 3, the area of the qualifications or characteristics of an elder, and we call these noble characteristics. And in fact, we realize that these are the characteristics of every Christ follower, of every disciple. But we're continuing now that series here a week later, and we're looking specifically at the area of an elder's job description. What does an elder do? What should an elder do? A couple of weeks ago, I had the statement, and I'm going to put it up again for you to see. It says, being an elder will require sacrifice and putting the needs of others ahead of personal needs, but behind kingdom values and the vision that Jesus has for his church. Again, let me read that. In reference to elders, it says, being an elder will require sacrifice and putting the needs of others ahead of personal needs, but behind, catch that, behind kingdom values and the vision that Jesus has for his church. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, that area where we have those noble characteristics or the characteristics of an elder, in the midst of those verses, in verses 4 and 5 specifically, there we have a little hint as to what the job description or the task is to be of a church elder. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says he must, meaning an elder, manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he care of God's church? How can he take care of God's church? And so here we see a hint of what elders are to do. Elders are to take care of God's church. You are the church, okay? We need to remember that. The church isn't Westgate, this building. You are the church, and we meet in this building on the west side of the city of Saskatoon. But you are the church. And so they're to take care of God's church. They're to take care of you. When we go to the book of Acts and follow the growth of the early church, we find that the appointment of elders to lead the church is a normal practice. So right from the very beginning, we could say, the appointment or the existence of elders in the church was there. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 to 23, we find this appearing for us. So it's so black and white there. Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas have finished the first missionary journey. They are now on their way home. They went out. They were sent out by the church at Antioch, their home church, and they planted church after church after church. And now they were on their way back home. And they went back through these churches. And so in Acts chapter 14, verse 21 to 23, this is what it says. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned. And this is it. They're on their way home now. The first missionary journey is complete. They return to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples, encouraging them to remain true to the faith. And they said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas, here it is in verse 23, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they put their trust. So as they went back, they appointed elders in each church, prayed over them, and committed them to the task of taking care of the church. So we see that the pattern is established there right at the very beginning when the first churches are being planted. So we come back and we think, so what is the task of an elder? To take care of the church. That's to take care of you and I. That's the task of the elder. But how does that work? John Piper writes, he says, the elders are responsible for teaching and governing the congregation. As leaders, they give guidance and direction to the church. As teachers, they oversee the life of the church to preserve its biblical faithfulness. They are wardens of the Word of God. Interesting word that John Piper here chooses. They are wardens of the Word of God. Again, I'll read you that. I think it's a great kind of definition. John Piper writes, elders are responsible for teaching and governing the congregation. As leaders, they give guidance and direction to the church. As teachers, they oversee the life of the church to preserve its biblical faithfulness. They are wardens of the Word of God. Well, here at Westgate, we have elders. The Christian and Missionary Alliance practices this area of elders leading the church. Once a year, we get together and we vote for elders. Some of the elders continue, but every year we vote some new elders onto the elders board. And the lead pastor is appointed to the elders board as an elder. In other words, the lead pastor is an elder along with the other elders. And so there's a plurality, we could say, of leadership. The purpose of the board of elders at Westgate is to envision the future and provide strategic leadership while maintaining biblical values. And so the board, the elders at Westgate Alliance Church, it was years ago already, they came up with this statement. They said, our purpose, based upon the scriptures and what we read and see in the scriptures in reference to elders, they said, we need to envision the future and provide strategic leadership while maintaining biblical values. We go back to the scriptures and we find Paul on his final missionary journey, the third missionary journey. He's back. He's again on his way back, but not this time to Antioch, his home sending church. He is on his way to Jerusalem. And this will be the final missionary journey that the Apostle Paul does. And as he's heading back to Jerusalem, he's in a hurry. And he doesn't want to stop at every church and visit them. But there is a church that has a special place in his heart. And that's the church at Ephesus. Timothy was appointed by Paul to pastor the church at Ephesus. And so here we see this direct connect. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. And what he does, because he loves the church at Ephesus, he spent years there. He loves this church. He loves the elders. He sends a message to the church. And he says to the elders, come, leave Ephesus. Meet me on the coastline of the Mediterranean where it comes close to Ephesus. Meet me there. And I just want to just see you one last time. And so in Acts 20, if you have your Bibles, flip quickly over to Acts 20. There he commissions these elders at the church at Ephesus, these same elders that are part of the church that Timothy is now pastoring. Acts 20, verse 28, Paul says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. In other words, as elders, watch yourselves and the congregation, the church. He continues, he says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. That word shepherd, in fact, we replace that word shepherd with the word pastor because it's really just a Latin expression for the word shepherd is what it is. And the concept of shepherding people finds its roots, of course, in an agrarian society. Because, I mean, the culture and the society at the time of the early church was an agrarian society, and they understood very well what it meant to shepherd sheep. Today, we don't understand what it means to shepherd sheep, but there's this symbolism that's reflected in this word of shepherding, and so the pastor is to shepherd. What does it mean to shepherd? Well, to be a shepherd, you make sure that the sheep are well fed is what you do. To be a shepherd, you make sure that the sheep are kept in good shape. You also make sure that the wolves stay far away. And if a wolf sneaks in, well, you go and confront the wolf. As a shepherd, so you protect the sheep is what you do. You lead the sheep. You lead them from one pasture to another pasture so that they will grow. And if we think of the pasture as the word of God, a shepherd takes the people, the church, through the scriptures so that they would see and understand the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter writes, he says the following in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. He says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So the task of the shepherd is fulfilled through preaching and teaching and taking care of the flock. But a key ingredient of that is prayer. Prayer is so important. We started with 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." So here we find the preaching and the teaching aspect, and we find the words directs the affairs of the church. That is the purpose of the elders. But we combine this back with Acts chapter 6. And in Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, there we see the appointment of the deacons. And if those that are in leadership at that time in the church are appointing deacons, we make an assumption that those that are left in the church, that's the disciples, they consider themselves then elders. And there in Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, they say, "Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men among you who are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility," means taking care of widows, that's the deacons, "we will turn this responsibility over to them. But note what they say, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." So the ministry of the word, taking care of the flock, is so important, and the elders are called to do that, and prayer is a key ingredient. In fact, I love being part of the elders, because being part of the elders means that I get to do something that I love so much, and that is praying for you and praying for others. In fact, we are kind of commissioned, or that area of prayer is directed to the elders in James chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Where James writes to the church and says, "Is any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." The elders are commissioned to pray. That's how they lead the church, through prayer. Where are they to lead the church? I think by now we might be already kind of answering that question in our mind. They're leading the church to what? To present Christ to a lost world. That's where they're leading the church. They're leading the church into the fullness of God. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, not to Timothy, but to the church as a whole, in Ephesians chapter 4, and there explains again the role of the elder. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 10 to 15, Paul says, "He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers," that's the elders, "to equip his church for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." The elders' task is to lead the church into the fullness of Christ. That's what the elders are to do. To create mature disciples. The elders are not to do the works of service. They are to teach us as a church to do the works of service. Through the word of God and through example and through prayer. And they are to do this in love, not lording it over. If we go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, there we see Peter telling the elders that they're not to lord it over the congregation, but they're to do this in love. If we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and we look at those noble characteristics, those qualifications, we see right away that those qualifications are qualifications that encourage love. It said to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that an elder is to be above reproach, that an elder is to be faithful to his wife, that an elder is to be temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, manage family well, not a recent convert, good reputation outside the church. As we look at these characteristics, we begin to realize that elders need to lead the church with love. But their desire is that each person would grow in their faith, that each person would become the person that God has created them to be. And at times, as a shepherd, this might mean having to step in to protect the flock from something that could really hurt them. It means encouraging them and coming alongside them. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 13, Paul writes there to the church at Thessalonica, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord." That's again the elders. "And who admonish you." Catch that. Let me read that again. These are the elders. "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love. Because of their work, live in peace with each other." And then in closing, I want us to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 5, to the passage that we were looking at, 17 to 21. And there we see the final aspect of this area of being an elder, and that's accountability. Accountability. Elders are to be held spiritually accountable. They are. As a church, we need to be careful that we're not critical for the sake of being critical, or critical because a decision that the elders made is not in our personal favor. For example, sometimes elders have to make decisions in the area of worship music, or to encourage the use of contemporary songs, or they make decisions in the area of the use of the building so that the kingdom can continue to grow. Elders bring about change at times in the church, but not everybody likes change. But they make these changes out of prayer, listening to God's will for his church. But elders need to be held accountable. Not because of the change that they're doing, but they need to be held accountable in reference to sin. You see, we need to recognize even sin in our leadership. Because if sin enters into our leadership, then the church will wander down that pathway. And it will be heading the wrong direction. We won't be heading towards Christ, but we'll be heading away from Christ. And so our scripture passage says in verse 19 to 21, "Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses." So be careful when you criticize elders. Think about what you're saying. Well, let me continue. "But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone so that others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and do nothing out of favoritism." What is sin, you might ask? Sin is when the theology is wrong and the elders are teaching wrong theology. Sin can be adultery or any other sexual deviance. Sin can be drunkenness. Sin can be covetousness. Sin can be lying and cheating. In fact, if we want, we could go in the scriptures and we find many lists of sins. But sin is not just having a different opinion on something. That's not sin. And we need to understand that. Some people think that leadership is a dartboard. And I think that we bring into the church from the secular world, from our culture. And just today, as I was reading the news this morning, I realized that the elections coming up in October, our leaders across the country really become dartboards. But this should not happen in the church. Leadership is not a dartboard for us to throw our darts at. Scripture tells us to uphold our elders, to make their work joyful. Yes, some people struggle with authority, and unless they are the ones in authority, they struggle even more. But that's still no reason to criticize the elders, especially the elders that serve well. The task of an elder is a very difficult task. And it tells us in the scriptures that it can be done with joy or with frustration. But that's up to us as the church. If we recognize that the elders that are appointed every year are there for our good, that the elders that are appointed are there to teach us how to live as Jesus wants us to live, and we follow along in that, then it becomes joy in reference to elders. If you're interested in understanding the role of an elder at Westgate, you can find the Elder's Policy Manual on our website. In fact, it's there. It's found underneath the heading Ministries, and if you click on that, you can move down to where you will find elders, and then the Elder's Policy Manual. Years ago, the elders realized how important their task was. And so they created a policy manual that would help them to walk faithfully with God, listen to God, and do that which God wants them to do here at Westgate. So we've looked at this topic of elders. We find it in 1 Timothy. Paul instructs Timothy in this area of leadership within the church. It's an important task of the church, and we ought to know how the church functions and the leadership structure of the church, and then to understand that we need to understand the role of elders. But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to encourage and support your elders. And how do we do that? Well, we do that through prayer, and we can do that through words. Do not always be critical of their decisions because it means change to you, and you don't like change. Make their work joyful. Come alongside them in prayer. Encourage them as you see them desiring the kingdom of God to grow here on the west side. That's what their desire is. They want to see the kingdom of God grow, and they are trying to have us as a church make or become mature disciples who will then make disciples of Jesus Christ. So I want to challenge you in that area. Encourage the elders through prayer and words. Their task is not easy.